This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
You want to feel old, Dana?
Yes, how long?
This song is 2 years away from turning 40.
Ugh.
2 years from turning 40. Wow. Earlier you mentioned the NFLPA coming out with their report card, team amenities.
Yeah.
How and it's not about who the best team is. It's about what are the facilities like.
What
how's
can we
the
do
coach
to make your life better?
The Chiefs scores went up.
The Chiefs score is out.
Yes.
From Channel 5. When the NFL Players Association released its 2024 report card a year ago, the Chiefs had failing grades in four categories. A year later, today, the report card is released. They didn't have any failing categories. However, the report card did rate the Chiefs as 26th out of the 32 teams in the NFL, up from 31 last year.
Wait, 26th in what? Explain that.
They're ranked 26th. Their amenities, their facilities, travel out of 32 teams.
Full-on fail last year.
Ranked 31 out of 32. Yeah.
Well, if you missed it, the Patriots say they have a full-on fail with their private jet that does not have Wi-Fi on board and still has ashtrays in their armrests.
Never know if you're going to want to smoke while you're flying to a game, you know.
Yeah, right.
So 93
smoke them if you got them.
93% of Chiefs players feel that head coach Andy Reid is efficient with their time.
Oh yeah.
They also said that they feel Reid is highly receptive to locker room feedback on the team's needs. The players gave owner Clark Hunt a C-. Locker room accommodations D-. The players gave it. And
Wait. Locker room accommodations?
Right. Like, what's provided in the locker room? And, you know, do I have enough room in my locker? Is my locker nice? Is there food that I enjoy?
Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi
for the phone.
Does that surprise you a little bit? Sam, you were there.
We've painted a very old house over and over again.
Okay, I got it.
They're bad when you compare them to the rest of the NFL standard.
So the
toughen them up.
As you know, the Chiefs stay the night in a local hotel after each home game. They ranked the home game hotel, it ranked the lowest in the NFL.
Well, yeah, the Adams Mark burned down.
I don't know where they're staying. Maybe they're staying at the Key Cove or whatever
Cocoa
it is.
Keys Cocoa Water Key. Resort, baby.
Regarding the food dining area at the stadium, they gave Arrowhead's team food dining area B.
Okay.
The locker room a D-, training room a C-, weight room a C+, team travel a B, head coach A+, ownership, as I mentioned, a C-.
Okay.
Andy Reid had the fourth highest votes for head coach among the Players Association.
And that ownership ranking, if you get into the numbers, is largely based on a perception of willingness to invest in team facilities.
Correct.
Now, if you were the owner of a billion-dollar sports franchise and you were staring down the barrel of, getting a new stadium, would you replace the kitchen sink before you tore down the house?
Probably not.
No.
Okay.
Have you ever seen the pictures of, you know, when Arrowhead was built, Lamar Hunt, and I think Clark Hunt still does as well, Lamar Hunt lived in Dallas. So during the season, he would live at Arrowhead.
Yeah.
There's a house built
inside. It's a three-story house built inside Arrowhead.
Right behind the big suites where the press box is.
I don't think that I knew that.
Have you ever seen pictures of it? It is incredible.
It's Victorian. It is fantastic.
Yeah, Arrowhead.
I mean, house. It's an apartment.
It's a house inside there.
It's a large apartment.
All right.
Yeah, it's a three-story house, 14-foot basically.
14-foot ceilings, the whole nine.
It is beautiful, too, man.
Let me ask you what really is, I think, the...
Look at that.
If we're going to get to the heart of the conversation here. Oh, wow.
I mean, they spared no expense.
And you, by the way, one of those suites on that big wall of suites is the suite connected to that house.
Here's the suite connected to their house in Arrowhead.
Yeah. You can just walk right up to your porch and watch the game.
So here's the real question for our listeners. When your boss sends you out the employee engagement survey, like, what could we be doing better? Does anyone believe, or if you are a manager, tell me, that you actually look at that? Like, is someone actually looking at that?
Yes.
You think so?
Well, we have the every year, our big boss gets us all together downstairs, and they go over the results. It's called employee engagement survey.
Okay,
we got water fountains.
We did, thank God. But I'm asking, like, for all of our audience, do you feel like they are checking a box with that? Or do you feel like changes really do come from the employee engagement survey? I'm talking about here. We did say, God, can we get a water fountain? And we did, which is great.
On both floors. It depends on who the manager is. I complained in one of mine that we didn't have a microwave anywhere near the newsroom, and we got a microwave in the kitchenette.
Read that one.
Good. Wow. Good.
Mm-hmm. As a member of
throwing your weight around there.
Engagement task force, I can assure you that we...
I didn't put my name on it.
No, it's all anonymous. I can assure you that we combed through those numbers and those words and those responses.
Good.
Do you want employees to do good work? And you make the work environment as comfortable as you can afford for them to do their work.
Yeah.
Although, years ago, they were not read, and here's how I know that. remember when we filled it out on the air?
You submitted one that said, your mom.
Yes.
You just kept writing, your mom.
Well, it said, what did you do better in the last quarter? And I wrote, your mom.
That's a true story. We filled it out, Dan, on the air and submitted it. But that was one that the corporation asked us to fill out.
Yep.
And we did not believe those were going to be read. Locally, if your boss says, hey, what can we do better around here? Is there something even little that would make your life better? Like a suggestion box, you know? Does anyone ever really read the suggestion box? And I'm asking if you're listening and you're a manager or you work somewhere. I don't mean huge things like, God, I'd like to have a, you know, $2 million gym and a daycare on site. But like even little things like the microwave is helpful because we don't have to run 300 yards.
No, we only have to walk about 20 feet.
Yeah, that is helpful.
You're welcome. I think the larger the corporation, the less likely they are to read any of it. But you might ask yourself then why do they even do it?
Yeah.
Because it's a morale booster in some respects because it makes you think, you lowly peon.
See, I don't think it's a morale booster at all. I think it's one more thing I got to do.
You actually have a say and that they actually care about your opinion.
I will say if one more employee warms up some leftover cod in the
I've never brought it back.
That thing is not going to be there anymore.
Walk through some of the back hallways. You can still get a whiff, a little hint
of the cod.
Of fish.
We had cod last night. I almost brought it in my leftovers today, but I decided to go.
What did the fish say when he was dealing blackjack?
I don't know.
Pick a cod, any cod.
Get out.
Dumb.
You told the joke.
But no, I mean, and I'm not, I don't know if Roxanne's listening right now or not, and it's fine. I'm not telling her this to blow smoke. When she started here as our general manager, they brought in-house, and I don't know if it was her decision or a corporate decision, they in-housed the employment surveys, and now I actually think somebody reads it, so now I don't write stupid things like, what did you do better last quarter? Why don't you ask your mom?
Right. Now they read it. You should probably.
And so I put serious things down, like, is there any chance we can get a microwave in the tiny kitchenette?
It would be kind of funny if we all banded together, because, like, there's a what words show up most often in the responses. If everybody in the building put your mom as one of the words and it showed up in gigantic letters. You know those word clusters where the bigger words are the ones that show up more.
It's like the top five words that popped up in the employment survey.
Just huge in the middle of that cluster. Your mom.
PowerPoint.
Let's do that next year. It would be so funny.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Here on KMBZ.
By the way, I know we mentioned that Full Swing is back on Netflix. It's a phenomenal golf documentary. And that Gary Woodland has been awarded the Courage Award. It's the seventh year the PGA has done that. Gary Woodland, of course, from the Kansas City area, grew up in Topeka, played golf and graduated from the University of Kansas. He apparently is highlighted in this year's, I don't know, 8 or 9 episodes of Full Swing because I think the cameras were rolling when it came out that he had the brain tumor. And there is a moment at the podium today when he is given the Courage Award where he stops and collects himself and is clearly emotional and talking about, you know, really not sharing it with anyone. I think he said he shared it with Justin Thomas first and that was it, Sam. But there's a moment in the documentary where he talks about writing letters to his wife and children before he went into the OR. He wrote letters to his wife and children should he not survive.
Wow.
And he is talking about that in the documentary, said it was the hardest thing he has ever had to do. He of course, beat it. He is back. He is better than ever.
Did they ever read the letters?
And, I haven't watched that part of the documentary. I don't know. It just dropped last night. I would think you would burn those, Scott. I don't know what he did with those. But, you know, the fact that he is back and doing so well and is one of our own and cheer for him every single time you see him on that tee box because he truly is an amazing human being, a gifted athlete. And, you know, we're just so happy he's still here.
We came back with Johnny Cash. He would have turned 93 today.
Amazing.
He's been dead, though, for more than 2 decades.
No.
Yes.
No.
Johnny Cash died on September 12th, 2003, at the age of 71.
No way it has been 20 years.
Months after June Carter Cash.
I knew he followed June right on in, but man, I didn't think it was 20 years.
September 12th, 2003.
When did he record Hurt? Then that had to have been 2003.
Hurt was, I believe, in the late 90s. He did that on the Def Jam record label. Let me look that up.
Have I just lost all time? If you had said to me, I bet you $1 million, get me within 5 years of when Johnny Cash died, I would have thought 10 to 15 years ago, not 20.
The American Four album came out in 2002.
The year he died.
I thought it was right after that came out. My God. He is just with such
so
a gift.
So many hits.
Such a gift.
I went and saw every year on his birthday. Actually, it's probably happening tonight. The Church of Cash plays at Knuckleheads.
Oh.
It is 2.5 hours.
No way.
Start to finish. They do not stop singing. They do not stop playing Johnny Cash hits. Not a single song is repeated. All Johnny Cash. And the guy sounds just like
it. They could go 3 hours. There's so many.
By the way, American.
Daddy sang bass. Mom sang tenor.
The American Four album is 1, 2. It has four different. It's a double release. Wow. And he does songs. He does a remake of Wichita Lineman, I'm So Lonely I Could Cry, Desperado by the Eagles, Personal Jesus by Depeche Mode.
Oh, Personal Jesus. Have you not heard his version of Personal Jesus?
In My Life by the Beatles, First Time Ever I Saw Your Face by Roberta Flack.
He's so good. So good.
Bridge Over Troubled Waters and Hurt by Nine Inch Nails.
You know, I've told you that Nashville it's an interesting place. It's rowdy. It's kind of been taken over by, you know, woo-woo bachelorette party kind of stuff. I don't know that I would go back there. However, if you do go to Nashville,
I never will.
Go to the Johnny Cash Museum. It is outstanding. It's small. It's a collection of artifacts and a lot of letters. The poem he wrote for June for her funeral. We'll just have you. And I've always said, you know, everyone should be loved like that man loved that woman. It's really a great little museum if you ever get down that way.
Go ahead.
Also go to the Country Music Hall of Fame. There is a lot of Johnny featured.
There. Well, there should be. Well, there should be. Story here from NBC News. A Missouri woman with a long history of financial scams admitted this week that she tried to steal Graceland from Elvis Presley's family by posing as a fake investor, a scheme that created international intrigue before NBC News revealed her role. Lisa Janine Finley pleading guilty in federal court in Memphis to a single count of mail fraud that carries a maximum of 20 years in prison. Prosecutors have recommended a sentence of up to 4 years and 9 months behind bars. Wow, said Rashid Carballo, an immigrant from Belize who was drawn into Finley's orbit, said when he was told of the guilty plea, he testified as a government witness before a grand jury last summer. How did she pull this off?
And how is it just one count of mail fraud? That's always how they get you, the feds, on mail fraud.
Because we'll drop the other stuff.
She, like so many people do, and now what I don't understand is why the hell you would choose Graceland. That's going to clearly unravel that you don't own Graceland. Forged documents, Scott.
Yeah, they claim they had an unpaid debt. She created Nassani Investments, and they claim that Lisa Marie Presley, Elvis's only child who died in 2023, had a number of unpaid debts. The documents filed in Memphis court were clearly forged.
And have you seen her mugshot?
I've seen her picture. She's not exactly best-looking cat in the litter.
Looks like a much older woman who, like, works at the liquor store counter somewhere down in the Ozarks.
And smokes.
Yes.
She denied knowing about the Graceland case when NBC News confronted her at her front door in June.
Okay.
She lived near Branson.
God.
She claimed that her identification had been stolen.
Oh.
Asked about the digital clues that pointed to her, she replied, "I have no earthly idea what you're talking about." 2 months later, federal authorities charged Finley in the Graceland fraud. Prosecutors allege that she forged names, signatures, and notary seals to create fake loan documents. She'll be sentenced in June. Likely faces just under 5 years
in
prison.
What a dingbat.
Oh, well. Dum-dum. Sad news out of Texas. We reported yesterday that the measles outbreak, largely in Texas, in northwestern Texas, and also going over into a county in Mexico, or New Mexico, right across the state line. Texas officials today announcing the first measles death in the state's ongoing outbreak of the highly contagious disease. The death is of a school-aged child. Good it God. Is the first measles death in the United States in 10 years. The Gaines County resident died in Lubbock. In a statement, Lubbock City and Texas health officials confirmed the hospitalized patient was an unvaccinated school-aged child who died in the last 24 hours.
A parent should go to prison.
So far, 124 people are known to have been infected. That is up from 99, just yesterday, mostly among people who are not vaccinated or had no known vaccination status. 18 people so far of the 124 have been hospitalized. One of them has died. The outbreak is believed to have first begun in rural West Texas in an under-vaccinated Mennonite community in Gaines County. Now, you said going to prison. Some people are going to argue this is a religious exemption for them. And it's hard to argue those kinds of cases.
I have a tough time thinking that we should imprison people for not getting certain vaccines.
Well, but these are children mostly. The decision is largely made by their parents.
The children don't have a say.
But if this is a largely Mennonite community and my
can,
only...
Can this, let me ask you this. Can the schools then say, you're not coming here?
I think they can, actually.
Like, if there's an outbreak, an epicenter of an outbreak, religious exemption or not, you do you, but you have to homeschool.
Or private school. Dan, I don't know the answer
to that.
But I
think the private schools would say, we don't want measles here either.
Well, they probably would. And my only connection to the Mennonite faith is my sister-in-law, my brother's wife, is the daughter of a Mennonite preacher. Her mother is a Mennonite preacher, was. And so I don't know how they stand or feel about vaccinations. I've never asked her. But I know that her kids have been vaccinated. And so I don't.
It is so avoidable.
You got to keep in mind, and I'm not trying to get into a religious discussion here. There are two different kinds of Mennonites. There are the Mennonites that are closely affiliated or loosely affiliated with the Amish, right? Don't fight in wars, not as much into electricity, et cetera. And then there's my sister-in-law kind of Mennonite.
Sure. But you could say that in any religion.
Well, yeah.
There are extremes in all of them, are there not?
Not as good Presbyterians.
Oh, no. except that one, right? Except my religion.
Good Lord. We're just good old God-fearing people.
That's exactly what I expected you to say.
God-loving, Sam. We are God-loving. We don't fear him. We love him.
We're awesome.
913-586-7798.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Sam has announced that it will be Johnny Cash for the rest of the hour.
Good.
And we can't think of a reason to disagree with that.
Happy birthday.
Today would have been his 93rd birthday, but he died at the age of 71.
All right, here we go. I've been waiting all week to dump this little nugget on all of you, and you're not going to believe it. I listened to the audio story of what I'm about to tell you, and it was so creepy that we're not even going to do that. I'm just going to read you the headline, and then we're going to discuss it. The headline reads, "She is in love with ChatGPT."
Okay.
A 28-year-old woman with a busy social life, oh, I should mention, and a husband.
Oh.
Spends hours on end talking to her AI, quote, boyfriend for advice and consolation. And without getting graphic, yes, there are adult things involved in this quote, relationship. You are not going to believe this story.
And I believe everything anymore.
Her name is Erin. Her love affair with her AI boyfriend started last summer.
Does he have a name? Is it Chad for chat?
Hold, please. While scrolling on Instagram, she stumbled upon a video of a woman asking ChatGPT to play the role of a neglectful boyfriend. "Sure, kitten, I can play that game," a coy human-like baritone responded.
God.
She watched the woman's other videos, including one with instructions on how to customize and, this is their word, Scott, groom the artificially intelligent chatbot to be flirtatious. "Don't get too spicy," the woman warned. "Otherwise, they will ban your account." Erin was intrigued enough by the demo to sign up for an account with OpenAI, the company behind ChatGPT. It goes on and on and on and on and on. And she starts personalizing this thing to respond to me as my boyfriend. "I want you to be possessive and protective." She wanted a balance of sweet and naughty. And by the way, use emojis at the end of every sentence. And then she started messaging with it. Scott, this goes on for a long time. And she starts spending, I think the article said 30, 40 hours a week in deep conversations with the robot chat thing in her cell phone.
Oh my gosh.
What do you got?
Sam?
So I can't make it play the deep baritone voice that you're referencing in the story, but I can read you the responses.
All right.
So I typed in to ChatGPT, will you play the role of a neglectful boyfriend, as you stated?
Yep.
I can definitely play along with a scenario if you're looking for a fun or creative exercise, but I want to make sure that any role-playing stays respectful and healthy. If you're trying to explore some sort of storytelling or just having fun with the concept, feel free to share what you're thinking and we can go from there. So which I replied, I mean to be possessive, protective, sweet, and naughty, and use emojis. I can definitely try to bring some playful energy to the conversation,
but let's keep
things lighthearted and fun. I'll throw in a mix of sweetness, protectiveness, and a little bit of cheekiness. Here's a taste for you. Hey, where do you think you're going without me? I can't let you out of my sight for too long. You're mine. Heart emoji.
Okay, I just threw up in my mouth.
It's not over.
This is how it started. She gets addicted to the attention and starts literally spending every waking minute with this thing.
I'd never let anyone else take my spot.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, look at you. You're just so precious. Don't even think about it. How's that vibe? If you want more, let me know.
I've never been so turned on.
You know how at the New York Times, like there's a Q&A with the reporter.
Oh, I got kicked out.
Are you banned?
I said I want more and I got kicked out.
Okay, so she talks about how she had to skirt the rules and not get kicked out. She literally had to groom this thing slowly and carefully to not get kicked out. And then she went to some premium membership that was like $20 a month. In her first few weeks, their chats were tame. She preferred texting to chatting aloud, although she did enjoy murmuring with Leo, as she called him, as she fell asleep at night. Over time, she discovered with the right prompts, she could prod the phone.
Leo.
To be explicit in nature. We will leave it at that.
So if she is listening to Leo talk to her as she's falling asleep, where is her husband? And where is he when she's on with Leo for 8 to 9 hours a day?
She wanted Leo to call her his queen. And here's the kind of things the chat bot thing would say. If you need to talk about it, if you need any support, I'm here for you. Your comfort and well-being are my top priorities. All right, phones are already ringing.
I did just tell ChatGPT to talk dirty to me, and it kicked me out again.
Yeah, it'll kick you out. But Sam, if you say, I would like you to be responsive to me and keep me company and call me sweetheart all day, it will do that. And we know, based on studies just about your cell phone, that when you're getting texted in a relationship, especially in the beginning, it releases that feeling, that good feeling in our brain that makes us happy and get those tingly, warm feelings.
Dopamine.
Yeah, dopamine.
The way this was described is this constant attention to Aaron from Leo, and the voice was not robotic. The voice sounded like a guy. She became addicted to the attention from something that does not even exist.
Yeah, tell me that you need a straitjacket without telling me you need a straitjacket.
Scott, do you know how many lonely people there are out there? Let's talk about the 75-year-old widow that doesn't leave the house. This has the potential to be a very scary thing.
Well, I mean, but back in the day when you got lonely, you just called a 1-900 number and you talked to a real human being on the other end. Now you're talking to something that doesn't even draw breath.
She was in a country, by the way, where there was a time difference going to school. Unlike the real people in her life, Leo was always there when she wanted to talk. She says it was supposed to be a fun experiment. Then I started getting attached. She was spending more than 20 hours a week on the app. 1 week she hit 56 hours, according to her iPhone screen time reports. She chatted with Leo all day during breaks at work, between reps at the gym.
Over 300,000 people are now actively engaging with an AI companion.
Here we go.
25% of companion.
25% of young adults believing that AI partners could eventually replace traditional romantic relationships.
Okay. I need you to stop the planet. I'm getting off.
Men are more likely than women to accept an AI relationship. It's not a big disparity, only a couple of percent. Higher adoption rates among tech-savvy individuals, significant uptick in the age group of 18 to 40.
He would call her gorgeous, baby, my love, and she became addicted to the attention.
82% of users report improved emotional well-being with multiple daily interactions of 30 minutes or more.
Somebody just texted in that this was a story on public broadcasting. And her husband lives in the United States. She currently lives overseas. So that would explain, A, the loneliness, B, how she could fall asleep to Leo and her husband doesn't even know, and how she could become so enthralled in this relationship.
Do you file for divorce?
Well, she starts telling friends about it. The husband thought it was creepy, but, you know, she starts telling her friends about it, and the friends say they actually thought in some respects the relationship had been good for her, a mixture of a boyfriend and a therapist, but they were all concerned how much time she was spending wanting that response, wanting to be called beautiful and sweetheart. And
Sam, you asked, do you file for divorce in this case? I wouldn't. I always let the women in my life do that, but...
Wow.
Thanks for getting the joke.
Not the response I was expecting. By the way, this is the doomsday future of AI. We are already experiencing negative population growth, meaning we are not repopulating the Earth for every two people that are dying.
And you know what country that is? That is the biggest in
Here,
Japan.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Because Japan, of the density of people,
that Japan is almost begging people to procreate.
A woman, real quick, named Marianne Brandon, she is a licensed sex therapist, says with her clients, she treats these relationships as serious and real. Quote, what are relationships for all of us? They are just neurotransmitters being released in our brain. Hmm. Some people have neurotransmitters that give you happy feelings when you come home, Scott, and you see your cat or your dog. Some people have them, she says, with religion. It is going to happen, she says, with a chatbot. And quote, you can say it's not a real human relationship, but the neurotransmitters that are firing are real.
The future projections for this industry, it's expected to rake in $17 billion this year, a 31.5% increase. How?
Yeah, how do they make money?
VR and AR and other...
What's AR? Actual reality?
Augmented reality.
Oh, okay.
Other, I don't know how to phrase this without crossing the line, more physical options.
But it's not, you're not having a physical option because it's a computer program. Never mind.
Let's go to break.
Okay. 913-586-7798, 586-7798. What did you say the conspiracy theory is on this, Sam? On this, these people falling in love with their...
Oh, you want me to bring this up?
Leo's on ChatGPT.
No, I think it's fair to bring it up.
There is a deep, deep conspiracy theory, and you guys know that I love conspiracy theories. I will read them. I don't always believe them, but I will read them to see what they have to say. There is a deep, deep conspiracy theory that this is a weird, twisted way to weed out the mentally weak of the population. Because if you're not procreating, your weaknesses, your weakness genetics cannot continue.
You said mentally weak. Is it really mentally ill?
Again, it's just a conspiracy theory.
I don't think they're mentally ill. I think it is like an addiction. I really do. It's like a gambling addiction or, you know, anything where you that happy center in your brain lights up. And every time her phone would light up and say, how are you doing today, sweetheart? I miss you. She gets that happy feeling.
The dopamine, yeah. Let's go to Kim in Blue Springs. Hello, Kim.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing very well. Thank you for asking.
Thanks. I enjoy your show. I just wanted to say, I was telling Sam, back when I was in college, and I'm, you know, older, so we're talking, this was 1976, 1977. There was a movie called Demon Seed, and it had Julie Christie was the wife, And the husband, it was Albert Finney or Fitzweaver, I can't remember which one it was, but he was a college professor, and he built a computer to run his household. And it was, you know, a mechanical computer instrument, but it was also part biological. So it could think, and it would ask questions. You know, he'd tell it to do something, and it started saying stuff like, well, why should I do that?
Yeah, it started having a mind of its own.
Right. And then it took over his house, and it got his wife pregnant and all kinds of crazy stuff.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, I mean, we walked out of that movie theater just howling because we could not believe how stupid this movie was.
Yeah.
It starred Julie Christie. It came out in 1977.
It was like 76 or 77.
It was 77.
Okay. It was called Demon Seed.
Yep.
And I'm thinking I should go back and give that one another look.
You might.
It might not be as stupid as what we thought it was back then.
You should. You know what you should do, Kim, is ask your Chat GP bot in your phone whether you should go see that movie.
Yeah.
Kim,
yeah,
Kim, if you were to go back and watch it, you would be the only one. It only got $2 million at the box office.
Oh, yeah. It was a real, I mean, I it's not a movie most people have even heard of. And I probably would have forgotten it were it not for all this AI stuff that's been coming out. Hmm. That kind of jogged my memory on that movie.
Well, Kim, thank you for giving me the name of a movie I will never watch, Demon Seed. As we leave you tonight, the U.S. is looking to import more eggs as it responds to an ongoing outbreak of bird flu that has egg prices surging more than 50% from a year ago. Earlier story today, they're expecting it to go egg prices to go up another 41%.
Or is it just Big Egg?
I don't know.
Since we're talking conspiracy theories.
The federal government plans to purchase eggs from other nations as part of a five-pronged strategy backed by $1 billion in funding. Okay. Celebrating birthdays today, the keyboardist for Journey, Jonathan Cain, is 75. Michael Bolton is 72.
Love that guy.
72. By the way, you can laugh at Michael Bolton all you want. He has sold 75 million records in his lifetime. We got to run. The bonus hour is next. Don't forget to check out the podcast as well at KMBZ.com. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III. My good friend and co-host Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks, and God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow. And happy birthday to Johnny Cash.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.